will be a point in this episode where this edible smacks me in the face. You will know. I apologize in advance.
I wonder how long.
Hi, welcome back to Lavender Blaze, a podcast where we get high and talk about
Taylor Swift.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Jules.
And we have a guest today, our very first guest.
Wow!
Oh my God!
So exciting. It's an honor.
So this is our friend Austin, one of our coworkers at our dispensary.
Yeah.
Fellow stoner.
No, I just forgot to introduce myself. Yeah.
No, it's okay. That's our job. But fellow stoner, fellow friend, and part of the LGBTQ community. So this is going to be the first Gaylor episode of Lavender Blaze. Pew, 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 pew. So I know in the last episode I kind of mentioned that I need to do the Gaylor some justice and that I am a Gaylor. What does that mean? That means that you believe that Taylor Swift is gay. You think that she is bisexual or lesbian or, you know, part of the community, someone on the spectrum, that she has dated women, that she has secret relationships with these women, that some of these men that she is that she has broken up with or been in public relationships with, that she writes these songs about, are the PR stunts. They are the PR stunts to cover up. They are the beards. And she really likes women.
I could see that.
And that's what we're talking about on today's episode.
That's exciting.
We just figured what better way to try and rope you into being a Swiftie than the gay conspiracy theory behind Taylor Swift.
Okay, interesting.
And the reason I had you listen to the Lover album, for people who don't know the context, I guess we can dive right into the documentary first. How much research did you do on the documentary?
I'm going to be honest, I have not done much.
Okay, that is totally fine.
I got very distracted last night. I watched Ghostbusters. I got high and watched Ghostbusters, and it was a great night, and then I played Minecraft for, apparently, until 3 a.m.
Yeah, you texted me at, like, 2 a.m. last night, and I was like, what? In, the group chat that we had to, like, set up the recording session. Uh-huh. She was like, oops, I'm down for whenever at, like, 2:30 in the morning.
Whereas I responded at, like, noon. At, like, noon. But I already called her out. I told her, I was like, what are you doing up at 2 a.m.?
No,
I just got home from being a hoe. Like, what's up?
I'm pretty sure I was just playing Minecraft the whole time.
I'm so dead.
I'm not judging. My sleep schedule's all over the fucking place, too, so.
Yeah.
When I don't have to work early in the morning.
Period. Okay, so the Miss Americana documentary is a documentary that I think is on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And it is all about the Lover album, which I had you listen to as like homework for this episode. And the reason why is for this documentary, just to bring up this specifically. I wasn't going to have Austin like listen to any music of Taylor Swift's as like preparation for this episode or really like do anything. There wasn't really anything that we had had in mind for him to do as far as like homework. But the Lover album I wanted him to listen to simply because I wanted to explain that, like, if we were to watch the Miss Americana documentary, it basically walks through her writing this album and the steps of it and like what, like, why it meant so much to her. It was her first album that she had released with her new record label. So it was, like, a really big deal. It was after the whole Scooter Braun stuff came out. She released the Reputation album, made the statement, and then she left Big Machine, went to a new record label company, started the Lover album. This is the album that she described as a love letter to love. This was an album that she wrote during the beginning of her relationship with Joe Alwyn. This is an album that she wrote the documentary, that she had released the documentary about. But when they did focus on the documentary, they focused a lot on her eating disorder that she dealt with during, like, the 1989 and Reputation and everything, like, in her career that she had dealt with like, her appearance and stuff. And how, like, her taking over ownership and having this Lover album and having this new album of this new leg of her career with her new label, essentially. And, like, talking about, like, what it's been like being in this industry. But when we also look at the Lover album, we see she released the song Me with Brendan Urie, a queer icon, and they had a lot of colors and stuff like that. We that had
queer coded.
Yeah, yeah. They had the You Need to Calm Down, which is the, you know, the song that sparked up a lot of controversy. I don't know what you thought about that song. What did you think about that song when it came out?
Honestly, don't remember how that goes.
The You Need to Calm Down. Like, did you it was the song that she released that was saying like, you need to calm down, you're being too loud, like basically saying,
oh,
you
know, yeah, what I mean? Yeah.
And then had the music video with like Queer Eye was in it, Hayley Kiyoko was in it, yep. Like a bunch of queer icons were in it. But I remember a lot of the LGBTQ community was like, you cannot just come out with a song assuming that you have a sword now,
mm-hmm,
for the community. And then like also, like, the whole point is that we want equal voices, not that they need to shut up and let us speak instead. It's the whole point is that we're all together. So it sparked a lot of controversy in the LGBTQ community because, mm-hmm, a lot of queers hate Taylor Swift.
Yes, I can see that. I've definitely heard that. But there's also a lot of queer representation in Taylor Swift's community as well.
Exactly.
So it's, like, very bipolar.
That's why I wanted to see, I guess, like, what your thoughts were, I guess, when the song came out at all.
So honestly, I don't remember when it did come out. I do remember there being, like, an uproar about it. But I personally have mixed emotions, you know, growing up queer, just straight representation in queer community anyways.
Yeah.
You know, that's just how I feel. I know people have other feelings on it. Like, for example, not to relate it to, like, RuPaul's Drag Race, but, like, Batymorphosis is, like, a straight presenting, you know, is, like, in a straight relationship kind of thing, but also does drag, which, yeah, is very, you know, prevalent in queer community. But, I mean, I feel like as long as they respect it and they give it its voice and its platform, why not?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. But yeah, so we did, that was like part of the album as well. And then like you said, you see a lot of the themes of like the rainbow everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the album, she has like the heart around her eye with the rainbow clouds and pink clouds and pastels.
Yeah,
like,
gay.
All around. Yeah, exactly. Like it was just a very queer-coded album.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that and because of the documentary, they walked through like the behind the scenes of the music videos that she worked on with all that kind of stuff too, and all the colors and all the brightness and the Brendan Urie of it all. And they had Queer Eye talk about her in the documentary and all that kind of stuff too. And like these artists that were working on set be like, oh, like Taylor's done like amazing with this song. Like she's and like hearing all these queer voices that are celebrities say these things were like nice. But it is for a documentary. You don't know how much of it's for show and stuff.
Right, right. What are the underlying tones and intentions?
Exactly. But part of why people think what the intention behind the documentary was specifically was supposed to be her coming out documentary.
I was going to say, that's kind of what it sounds like. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen the documentary, but, yeah, you know, from the album forward, that's kind of what it sounds like.
Exactly. So that's what, but what happened was when she was writing the Lover album, this was actually the time that she left Big Machine, and this was the time that Scooter Braun stole her music, was during the time she was writing this album. And that's when she decided to go with, like, her other, like, record company instead. And so there's theories that the reason why it didn't actually happen as a coming out documentary is because her music got stolen and it wasn't the right time anymore. Because, okay, she's a mastermind and everything has to be calculated with Taylor Swift. You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? So, mm-hmm, it's like there's that, like, theory that, like, the plan got messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so backtrack, make it about the eating disorder instead. It seemed a little weird, and I think that's what threw a lot of people off guard, and that's where it seems like Lover was supposed to be the coming out album / documentary of, mm-hmm, Taylor Swift. And in the You Need to Calm Down music video, she's also wearing a wig with the bisexual colors. On the Eras tour, there were silver disco ball cups and then cups that were disco balls that had the pink, blue, and purple on it, mm-hmm, like the bisexual, like, colors.
Bisexuals, yeah.
And then even on the Lover album, there's a song called Cornelia Street. And
that one was, I do remember that one, very slow. Very, very slow, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it does seem like very ballady, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, love kind of situation forward, so.
I love the Live in Paris version so much. I just want to.
Let me fact check which girl it was about, but it was about one of the girls that it was rumored that she was dating.
Karlie Kloss?
I think it was actually Diana Argon,
oh,
who lived on Cornelia Street. But she lived in New York on Cornelia Street. And then it talks about, like, she also had a garden gate.
You said who, the blonde from Glee?
Yeah.
Really?
Diana Argon.
Okay.
It's rumored that Taylor Swift dated her.
Okay.
That's actually one of the rumored girlfriends is Diana Argon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Lesbian power couple. Here for it.
So Diana Agron, Cornelia Street.
Agron?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
What? What, she finally addressed the rumors? When? May 8th of 2023? Huh. Sorry, we just saw an article pop up that seems, like, interesting.
She's 37?
So, yes, it was Diana Agron, however you say her name.
Agron.
Yeah.
What a picture.
No, this is, like, there's pictures like that.
Wow.
They were, like, so they were besties during Taylor Swift's, like, New York era time. She was part of that, like, I think she was part of the friends that Taylor Swift during had that era of her life of, like, living in New York. And Diana Agron lived on Cornelia Street, and she had a little, like, garden gate situation thing leading up to her house. Mm-hmm. And so when she talks about, like, in some of her songs, like, sneaking through the garden gate, or, like, I'll never walk Cornelia Street again if we ever broke up, or, like, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thinks those songs are about Diana Agron because of where she lived. Literally just because of where she lived. She lived on Cornelia Street. She had a garden gate. There's literally pictures of Taylor Swift opening up the little garden gate to go visit Diana Agron, yeah. And it was rumored that they were a relationship.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot more to their, like, there's, like,
a whole... I was going to say, what's, like, their relationship
the
now?
Timeline. Yeah, I was going to say, because the thing with Diana Agron and Karlie Kloss, those are the two girls that she was rumored to date.
Who's Karlie Kloss?
Karlie Kloss is another...
She's a model.
Yes. She's another celebrity. She's a model.
Fabuloso.
She has a husband, and I think... I know she has at least one kid. I think she has, like, two or three, right? I know she has at least one.
Jarl.
I just want kids. Karlie Kloss for a second.
How many kids does Karlie Kloss have? So she has two. Levi and Elijah. Yeah, so she has two kids with her now husband. But those were two friendships of Taylor Swift where they were caught in public all the time together. They were seen together for a very long period of time. They were known very publicly as Taylor Swift friends and, like, super close to her. And both of them... kind of, like, left Taylor Swift's life the same way, where they both kind of, like, just stopped hanging out with Taylor Swift. Everyone stopped seeing them together. With Karlie Kloss's situation, she went and got married right after that, and it turned into a whole different thing, and we'll get into that. But we need to talk about Diana Agron a little bit more. But they just, like, randomly, like, weren't friends one day and, like, kind of stopped hanging out. Hmm. And that's why it was, like...
And still to this day, that's how their relationship is?
Yeah. They don't really talk anymore. And okay. So, and then we just saw an article pop up that basically was, like, Diana Agron addressing the rumors 10 years later, and that was only last year. So 2013 is how long this rumor has been going on for, like, the Diana Agron stuff.
Okay, and this album was released when?
The Lover album was released in 2019. But the 19, so she was friends with Diana Agron around the time she lived in New York, which is around the time she released 1989, which was back in, like, 2012.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, like, those things.
I'd say the timeline kind of, you know, matches up.
Exactly.
Especially if she's writing music. I know, you know, a lot of artists, they do that. They'll sit on music for a while. So.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, we also know that Taylor Swift is the type of person that, like,
is very meticulous.
She plans things out.
And also she's
years
just,
in advance.
She's just always
working.
She has,
like, admitted that she tries to plan it. Like, she's just like, okay, they like these theories. They like all these little hints. They like diving into this. How early can I plan this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, she's literally like, can I do this, like, a year in advance? Like, a couple years in advance?
I will say, I am kind of here for that. The whole, like, meticulousness of it all.
Oh, it's great.
Carefully
we should...
planting and...
Have you seen any of the stuff that she's, like, hinted at with any of Reputation?
I mean,
we should, like, show you how deep she goes with this, how deep the fandom goes with this.
Yeah, I mean, I am aware, like, it's pretty deep, but I've never, like, deep-dived
like, I'll just
myself.
Show you, like, I'll show you some, like, examples
mm-hmm.
of, okay. like, what it is, like, why we thought Reputation was coming, like, 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just dropped an album on us
mm-hmm.
instead.
That's what I heard. It wasn't, like, what y'all expected, right?
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be like a reworking of, you said, the Reputation album, right?
Yeah. Yes. We thought that we were going to get the announcement of the Taylor version of Reputation, but we got a new album instead.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you... Because, you know, her music got stolen, so she's re-recording all of her albums.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting for Reputation, because she released 1989.
Which, you have actually have some Reputation songs saved, so you're a Reputation girly, too.
I do have quite a few different...
He was looking up which songs of Taylor Swift he has saved. He had Cruel Summer, and then Reputation songs, and then one song from Red.
Which song from Red? Where's that?
I
have like a couple different Spotify playlists that I have curated myself, you know, by different genres.
But, okay, so I pulled up an article just now that, to get back like on topic real quick, I'm trying to pull up an article. Bad Blood.
I knew you were trouble. Bad Blood's from
1989, yeah. And then I Knew You Were Trouble. Okay.
I probably have Country Taylor on here, too.
Period. Okay.
Because we country girlies.
So, I found an article from, it says, homepage. Business Insider. It was released on October 22nd of 2023. Mm-hmm. We'll link it below. But it's a complete timeline of Taylor Swift and Diana Agron's friendship. So... In January 7th of 2012, Agron tweeted that Taylor Swift looked beautiful on the cover of Vogue. March of 2012, Swift and Agron went to see Hunger Games together. April of 2012, Agron shut down the rumors that she was in a love triangle with Swift and Tim Tebow. And then in April of 2012, they wore vintage gowns and flower crowns to celebrate Shirley MacLaine's birthday together. And then... April, Swift also celebrated Agron with Taylor Swift, and there were, like, these cute pictures that they released together. May, they dined together in Los Angeles. They've spent holidays together in, like, Massachusetts. She released Red, which includes a dedication to Agron. So the note is that there was the secret message for 22. There was four names, Ashley, Diana, Claire, and Selena, and the songs.
Am I getting this incorrect? Because I'm thinking back, obviously Diana Agron was like pretty popular and famous from Glee.
Yes.
Like from this time. She was not on Glee. Was it Demi that was on Glee?
What?
Demi Lovato. Do y'all remember that? No? We all Glee fans.
Like, was Taylor Swift on Glee?
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift was never on Glee.
Yeah. No. Okay. I didn't think so.
No, she wasn't.
Okay.
I don't know if Demi Lovato was ever on Glee or not, but I was a Glee.
You were a Glee. I think she was. I think she was.
Was she?
In the later seasons, I want to say she was like in a relationship with... I'm really bad with names. The girl that died and the lake.
I have no idea.
She was the bitchy one.
What is her name?
I don't.
Oh my God, I feel so bad.
I know,
bad.
I feel terrible.
Oh my God, Nava Rivera?
Yes. I'm pretty sure, like, whenever they all moved to New York, it was, like, one of the later seasons. Like, I'm pretty sure Demi.
Oh.
It was, like, an arc, like, a very small arc.
I didn't realize that. Okay, I don't remember that. But I also, like, the later seasons were, like, interesting for...
It's interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Huh.
I was just making sure. I was just making sure because I do remember there being like a pretty popular, you know, pop star on Glee that made appearances. I just couldn't remember if it was.
There was a lot of them.
There were quite a few, yeah.
But then, okay, so back onto the timeline. December, Swift and Agron both attend the Ripple and Hope Gala together. So they're going to, like, events together. They're tweeting about each other. Mm-hmm. She's mentioning Agron on the songs. There was a fake article where they claim to be dating that went semi-viral back in 2013 of April. Let's be honest, right after the rumors were confirmed, the two were spotted out at a dinner date. And then there was, like, a lot of stuff about how they, like, went to Paris together and stuff like that, too. Oh, my God. What is happening now? Oh, my God. Okay. So, there's that. They went to other concerts. She released the deluxe version of 1989, which includes a breakup song called Wonderland. And so the lyrics in Wonderland clearly reference Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, the 1965 novel for Lewis Carroll. The Swift When Swift performed 1989 deluxe track as a surprise song on the Eras Tour, she said it was a twisted take on the fairy tale. In the song, Swift describes her muse as having green eyes and a Cheshire Cat smile. She says they fell in love in the rabbit hole and got lost in Wonderland without the consequences. Have you heard what becomes of Curious Minds, she sings. And so people think it's connected to Agron because of her love for Alice, because of Agron's love for Alice, because of the Wonderland between, the connection between a Wonderland and Agron together. So there's like a lot of like the little like Easter egg-y stuff of like interest of these girls too that are popping up in Taylor Swift songs. Because this happens with Carly Kloss too. But we were seeing it with Diana Agron as well. Here's them with their interaction at the American Music Awards together that you just saw that picture of.
I was about to say, the chemistry's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, Agron went to SNL when Swift was the musical guest. Like, there was a lot of rumors that they were in a relationship during their entire friendship. And a lot of stuff went viral. And then they just, like, weren't friends anymore. Neither of them talked about it. Neither of them addressed it. And they just stopped hanging out.
Okay.
Which was wild. So that was one of the rumored girlfriends that Taylor Swift had.
Mm-hmm. I will say the article of Diana addressing it is like all of 100 words. She didn't really address it.
Oh, wow. Okay, gotcha. So
it still has not been
addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Celebrities, gotta love them, right?
Yeah. And then you did some research on Carly Kloss, right?
Kind of.
How much research did you do on Carly Kloss?
I got really confused.
That's okay. Maybe I'll just take over this episode.
I
was going to
say, I think it would be best if you take over this episode and educate both of us on
That is A-okay. I just feel bad feeling like I'm the only one talking.
Yes, sensei.
I think that some might end up being like this.
That's okay. Yeah, there's going to be some episodes where I'm sure you're going to... Like, I can go into a folklore episode that, like...
I can go into a deep dive on debut and, like, all the country era.
Exactly.
Shit.
Yeah. So, that is true. Okay. Carly Kloss was another one of Taylor Swift's friends that she had had for a long time. This one had Kissgate, though.
Kissgate.
Kissgate was a fucking thing because of Carly Kloss and Taylor Swift. They went to a Mattie Healy concert, a 1975 concert, and they were up in the stands when it was rumored that Taylor Swift was actually dating Matt Healy. And the reason that there's rumors that that rumor came out was because it was to cover up Kissgate. Mm-hmm. Kissgate happened when they went to a Matt Healy concert, and there's pictures where it looks like Taylor Swift and Carly Kloss are literally kissing on the fucking balcony of the concert. There's literally pictures. I'll show you them. They straight up look like that they're kissing. And
I will say the 1975 is the vibe. For
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Very sensual. Kiss me.
Because also there's so when 1989.
Also, she has a type. Okay.
Blonde. No. She does have a type.
They're literally her.
Yeah.
Literally people that are like her. Because also,
they're pretty.
There's also, like, there's some nuanced scalers who also think that when she was with Joe Alwyn, you know how she's friends with, like, Blake Lively? Mm-hmm. They think they're all swinger couples and they all kind of hang out together.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And like, there's Ryan pictures. Reynolds and Blake Lively?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so there's rumors that Blake Lively and Taylor Swift definitely hook up all the goddamn time because Taylor Swift is always talking so highly of those two specifically and is always watching their kids, talking highly of their kids. Mm-hmm. And there's pictures of Blake Lively
like
and Taylor Swift.
Super Bowl,
like, exactly.
They
yeah, they were at the Super Bowl. They're like, always, they're still good.
Okay,
yeah,
bitches.
And also, after she broke up with Joe Alwyn, both Blake Lively and, I don't know, all of her friends, like, fucking unfollowed Joe Alwyn. Like, all of them did. Like, everyone was in support of Taylor Swift, and it was very obvious after they broke up. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was rumored for sure. And there's pictures of, like, even Taylor Swift and Blake Lively holding hands, and it seems like innocent friendship because they both have, like, their mans. But it seems like swinger couple situations, potentially polyamorous. Taylor could be poly. Mm-hmm. We don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of stuff with that.
I mean, I feel like that's just really popular among celebrities anyways, you know?
Yes.
Just to get married for publicity.
Yeah.
But this is the picture where it looks like they're literally kissing at the 1975 concert.
Yeah. Wait. I mean, the holding of the face?
Yeah. Like, they literally looked like they were, like, snuggled up. They looked like they were kissing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty convinced. Like,
yeah.
Is also...
That's Taylor. That's Carly.
That's her arm around her neck.
Isn't yeah, it? That's her arm, they're like, latched hands, around, like, and they're holding hands, and they're kissing.
At the 1975,
at the 1975 concert. Around the time that it was rumored that they were dating, that Matt Healy and Taylor Swift were dating, but the only reason that that became a rumor was because of this. Was literally because of this. Her team would try to cover it up by being like, oh, Matt Healy and Taylor Swift might be dating. She was writing songs for Matt Healy in the 1975 that didn't fit her music. She was writing songs for the 1975. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm convinced was happening. They used the fact that, because there's a lot of pseudonames that Taylor Swift definitely uses. She's had a lot of poetry.
You can't convince me that it's not.
No, right? Literally. Just someone in the background just watching.
I mean, you can even see in this other one, like, they're not even kissing in this.
Arms no, are still, literally, like, the arms are just around. They're, like, super close.
I was about to say, I mean, for me personally, I understand, like, intimacy, like, different levels of intimacy with different people, but that's, like, a pretty intimate thing even if they're not.
Exactly.
Like, that's pretty fucking intimate.
Yeah.
Regardless. So.
So, they were friends. That happened. But Carly Kloss was also dating her current husband. And then there was, like, the whole thing that she went off. She stopped being friends with Taylor shortly after she married her husband. Taylor Swift then wrote songs, like, alluding to people going off and getting married and choosing other people instead of her. Which alludes, we think, to Carly Kloss. Mm-hmm. And she since has dyed her hair brown. She's had kids. She's done all the things. But something that happened very recently with Carly Kloss that was very interesting is that Carly Kloss's birthday happened to fall on one of the LA shows of the Eras Tour. And on her birthday, Taylor Swift sang the song Maroon, which happened to be rumored about Carly Kloss as well because of all the symbolism in the song Maroon that seems to, like, relate to Carly Kloss. Mm-hmm. With, like, the wine splashing on, like, the dresses and the scarlet lips and, like, the she describes, like, basically the lips as, like, scarlet and maroon and, like, the maroon, like, wine spilling on the dress. One of the nights that they met, they had to cut off Carly Kloss's dress because they spilt wine on her white dress and ruined it, and they had to cut her dress. And then there was also another song where she said, when I met you with my bleached hair and your buzz cut, there's a rumor that the buzz cut was just the cover up to make it sound like it was about a guy. Mm-hmm. But it was the buzz cut that happened from the dress of Carly Kloss when they met, and Taylor had bleached blonde hair at the same award show that it's rumored that she met Joe Alwyn.
Okay.
So there's also a lot of things that people think that song was about Joe Alwyn, and it's actually about Carly Kloss too, with, like, them meeting on the same night and then Joe Alwyn kind of becoming the cover up for that too. And then there was also tweets that came out from after Calvin Harris dated Taylor Swift. This is kind of like the biggest other evident thing being out there of the Gaylor thing, is that after Calvin Harris broke up with Taylor Swift, he had some tweets that popped up that basically said that he became a beard to try and get a Grammy, didn't get the Grammy. And so the beard didn't really work out. And it was, and then, like, minutes later, he deleted the tweets. And it was, like, right after the breakup. So this is the first time we kind of realize that Taylor Swift confirms, has PR relationships, has beards, has these, like, contracts with these boyfriends. And then even after Joe Alwyn broke up with her, there was, like, a party that she threw last year where there was a picture with her and Hailey Kiyoko and fucking Chrishell House.
I know Haley's very gay.
And Chrishell House is literally dating G Flip right now, too. Mm-hmm. And, like, a lot of queer people at this, like, party that she threw last year. But Joe Alwyn was in the back. Not photoed with Taylor Swift at all during the party, but he was there in the back. We found out later on that they were already broken up by the time that party came around. Okay. And that he was only there for the contract.
For the contract.
Potentially.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense if you think about, like, her, you know, track record of men that she has dated, mm-hmm. you know, up to now.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. So it seems just very.
Especially since, so the tweet was Calvin Harris tried to grow a beard for a Grammy.
Became a beard or, like, grew a beard or whatever to try and get recognized as a producer to get a Grammy. Mm-hmm. It failed.
Through Taylor Swift.
Correct.
Okay.
By being, like, helping her produce her songs at the time that they were dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And around this time, what songs had come out? Like, what?
It was during the 19... It was I think, right before the 1989 stuff, right?
Which one are we talking?
Calvin Harris. They started dating around, I think, 2012?
It's like a fuckboy.
Yeah, we have notes on when they were dating.
Where is the...
I was just curious about, like, the influence on her music. If there was any.
Let me pull up the TikTok of the Calvin Harris tweets.
Would this be like the I Knew I Was Trouble? That was pretty like EDM. No.
So here, let's see. Okay, last year I grew a big old beard in order to be taken seriously at the Grammys as a producer. It worked to an extent. My Producer of the Year nomination came through, and I was happy the beard was performing as I hoped. But unfortunately, the weekend I learned that even a beard has its limitations. On Sunday, I lost to the something, the other guy. The big old beard can only do so much, an important lesson. Now my beard is gone. And I can move forward for the rest of 2018. God bless and thank you. He only kept those tweets up for literally like 3 minutes before he deleted them.
Okay.
That's it. Like, they was deleted minutes after. But like, that was the base of the tweets.
I love how that's still enough time for everybody to like
screenshot.
It's never
going to
go
away. Oh, yeah.
I was about
exactly.
to say, Twitter works very quick. So. Yeah.
Screenshots?
Or X. I should say.
No. We say Twitter.
I was about to say.
X. In parentheses, formerly Twitter, mm-hmm. as my email. I said it comes with my email still.
Formerly. Oh my god.
So yeah, so I guess I kind of just like, I want to see like what your thoughts are, I guess, on like all the Gaylor stuff and the Gaylor sword and Taylor Swift potentially being this. And if so, do you appreciate her marketing strategy behind all this? And what are your thoughts on all of this?
I mean, I do believe she is like a marketing genius with everything that she does have. I mean, whenever she comes in, she sells out tours and be fucking, you know.
Dominating.
Yeah, I was about to say, curving the whole fucking, you know, system. So it is kind of crazy like how she does that. I mean, it makes sense to me from like what you showed me, like all the evidence that, you know, it is a possibility. But I feel like it has such a negative connotation. I don't know if it would ever be like an outward come out story. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh my god, there was another rumor I totally forgot to address. Oh. I'm so sorry.
Proceed. The tea?
Yeah, because I forgot that there's other timelines that have seemed like it was going to be her coming out story too. On the 50th anniversary of Stonewall, Taylor Swift was asked to speak. Why the fuck are they going to ask a straight person to speak at Stonewall?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's like, why the fuck are they going to ask someone to speak at the store? There was a dress that was made for this event that the designer, after the event, said that there was a very important person that was supposed to wear this dress. It was a very beautiful rainbow dress that was gorgeous, sequined, sparkly, beautiful, beautiful gown. You could probably pull it up if you want to. The Taylor Swift, like, rainbow dress, that rumor or some shit like that. But he ended up loving the dress so much he put it on a different model that was a darker color skin, and there was like the paneling on the side that matched Taylor Swift's skin tone, mm-hmm. Or like a white skin tone, mm-hmm. and it was like a black model, mm-hmm. and so it just seemed like it wasn't fitting for the model specifically. And so then everyone was like, was that dress made for when Taylor Swift was supposed to speak at Stonewall, mm-hmm. and was that supposed to be when she came out as well? And that was also matching up around the timeline of the Lover documentary and all that stuff too. So there's also rumors of that. However, as we know, as being part of the community too, there's like not really a need to come out either, I feel like.
No,
too.
You don't ever really have to like outwardly say it, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about how you express yourself.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. So
that's it. That's the dress.
Oh.
And so there was like the white paneling on the side, but there was like, yeah, but the designer ended up.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It is very like Taylor Swift queer coded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would expect if that was to.
But the designer ended up loving the dress so much that he wanted to show it
absolutely.
Off. Yeah, exactly. Like, he wanted to show it off on a different model still anyways, because he loved the dress. It was obviously a very beautiful dress, but the paneling did not match.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have matched her.
not to read. I'm not the biggest fan of Tulle, personally, but it is a cute
that's
dress.
That's also why all of the pictures of this model are from the front.
I was about to say.
Yeah,
they're all from the front.
What does the back of the dress look like? Is it backless?
I have yet to see.
Yeah, there's like not of the back many of that dress. Of them.
Okay.
But yeah, there was a dress that was made, and look, you see, there's another. It's not a
touchscreen. You work too much. I think it's hilarious whenever y'all come in. There's obviously y'all trying to do that shit too, and I'm like, no. We have that privilege back here. So
I want to show you so badly right now the amount of fingerprints that are on my screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then also like these are outfits that she wore like for like performing before too, which are like her like rainbow jacket denim feather situation. Mm-hmm. Like she always loves her like glitter sequin sparkles and like everything. And so she everyone does, says yeah. Her style is just very queer coded too.
It is, yeah.
But yeah.
I'm curious, just from like that. Her background, you know, the swapping of genres, you know, starting yeah. Super early. What is her relationship with Miley Cyrus?
I actually Miley don't Cyrus know her is also relationship with Miley Cyrus.
Real queer coded, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. She's very queer.
So
I also forgot to say
an entire thing where like there's a bunch of Disney stars like Demi Lovato, Miley Cyrus that all just kind of mm-hmm.
came out after and mm-hmm. like or yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious, like, what her, Whoa. You know, relationship and how she interacts with other celebrities that have, you know, similar backgrounds kind of
Also,
thing.
During the Miss Americana documentary, there was a segment where she was fighting her family because she said that she felt bad that she never spoke up when Trump was running for candidacy, like, basically saying, like, vote. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, or just like mm-hmm. register to vote and
we all know
vote
how
in general.
Trump feels about gays, so.
Oh yeah, but there was also like a congresswoman that was running in Tennessee that she described as basically Trump in a wig, and she was like, if she becomes like the senator or whatever of this state, I will not be okay with it. And she was breaking down to her team and her dad, who was on her team, basically being like, I want to make a political post, and I want to say, go register to vote, and vote. For what's right, vote Democratic, like vote or like try and vote for what's right for Tennessee
something
or whatever.
That's not Trump.
Exactly. Like, vote for something different or whatever. And she literally.
Oh, fucking cheekbones. Okay, he had some Squidward.
Yeah.
Fuck, is that Demi?
We got a picture of Demi Lovato.
Fuck. She's so like carved right there.
But yeah, so basically she was like crying, breaking down, and she was on a couch with her mom, and her mom's like, if she's going to do it, she's going to do it. And she told her dad, she's like, well, you're going to have to accept that. I'm just going to do it. Like, I'm not going to ask for your permission anymore. Like, I'm just doing it. So there's also, like, you can see that she's fighting with her teams on even making a political post just saying vote or register to vote.
I mean, with somebody with that big of a platform, you know, and cancel culture is such a prevalent thing in our society now. Like, I understand.
Well, and now we're also, unfortunately, living in a day and age where she's also currently on tour. You know how high risk it is to come out or
while
something like
tour?
That while on tour.
That's why I was curious about like
that puts the safety of your fans at risk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was curious about like her background, like I said, because with Miley Cyrus, whenever she dropped all of her shit and you know she went fucking crazy, she lost all of her fan base.
Yeah,
so I was curious if she was scared to not follow in her footsteps.
But we've also seen things like bombings at concerts and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that before, too. And
absolutely.
It's like there's also the risk of like, you know, what if Swifties are just out and about trying to exchange friendship bracelets and one of them gets shot because of a homophobic person?
Mm-hmm.
And so like, now I think she has to take that in consideration as an artist of like, how is this going to affect my fans if I come out?
Mm-hmm. And that just really sucks, you know, somebody of that caliber who can't be themselves.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely understand like how meticulous and how everything is. I mean, for me, you don't have to convince me. I think she is at least on the spectrum, you know, especially from what I've seen.
A lot of people, definitely think like bisexual, pansexual, and then potentially poly, I feel like, as well, which I feel like would make a lot of sense. And I feel like a lot of people.
It's kind of matches with the times, too.
A lot of people very much are on that wavelength right now. And it's a very accepted thing right now, too. And I'm sure celebrities just. There are parties where they're all hooking up with each other all the time.
Orgy fest. Like,
literally.
For sure.
I cannot imagine the amount of cocaine and sex that goes on at celebrity parties.
Sounds like not my vibe. But you know.
No.
You know, to each their own. Whatever steams your broccoli.
No. Literally.
Whatever steams your broccoli.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, yeah. I wanted to see if we can get you to be hop on the Swiftie train a little bit that way of being like, you know, like, ooh, maybe this could be like a thing. And also like, it's also nice that even if she doesn't come out ever, like, mm-hmm. as being part of that. She, like, is such a big icon for, like, the colors and the rainbow and the glitter and the mm-hmm. sparkles and accepting and love. And she has such a big fan base of queer community people who are in her, like, mm-hmm. Fans that, like, feel safe going to her concerts, and, like, a lot of women, and, like, the support and the amount of feminism that she, like, stands up for, too. It's just, it makes for a great fan base, too.
I was about to say, I mean, I definitely think she's a great philanthropist.
Yeah.
Philanthropist? Yes. That word. I think she's great. I think she uses her platform, you know, for good things, and, you know, I wouldn't be mad for the queer representation if that is the choice, so...
Yeah.
I just feel like, for me personally, in my personal taste, you know, I'm a Kim Petras stan and a Kim Petras
bitch.
Oh,
yeah.
If she was to drop something, like, not to say Kim Petras caliber, but not super slow.
That would be such a...
Yeah, it'd be fucking, like, revolutionary.
Then again, we only had you listen to Lover.
I was going to say, I'm actually curious, because you like R&B a lot, too, and, like, slower songs. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you would like, folklore Evermore-esque type vibe songs. Mm-hmm. Just because they are slower, but they're like still like cutesy, mm-hmm. if that makes sense in a way. But like not in like still more serious than cutesy, but like fun. I don't know, different.
Part of me is like, can we show him some? I know we can't,
we can
like,
show, yeah, I was like, gonna say no, we can definitely show you.
We can like stop the recording.
Yeah, we're gonna pause real quick. We're gonna show him a couple songs and we're gonna come right back and see what his mindset is real quick.
Because there's...
I was showing him the one. What do you think of the one so far?
It was good. I liked it. It was definitely more my vibe.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're going to show him more, but I realized I forgot to finish my thought on Maroon. So she did sing Maroon on Karlie Kloss's birthday. The next day, Karlie Kloss showed up to the fucking Eras Tour, but she wasn't in the VIP tent. So Taylor Swift didn't invite her. She showed up to her own accord to the Eras Tour. And literally, my boyfriend's cousin's girlfriend saw her there and messaged me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was there that night and saw her and said, Karlie Kloss is here.
Real life journalism.
She was like, Karlie Kloss is here. And I was like, Karlie Kloss is there the day after her birthday, the day after Taylor Swift sang Maroon? That's fishy.
That is kind of fishy, yeah.
So just wanted to add that in real quick.
It is fishy.
Anyways, we're going to show him a couple more folklore songs and we'll be right back. Okay.
Sorry.
You're good.
I was like, I want to watch copyright. All of them.
Copyright.
I know.
Actually, technically. Would that be copyright, though? Because they took all of TikTok, all of her songs off of TikTok. So now it's just concert videos.
That is true.
That we get all of.
But honestly, there are some, like, I don't know how it works with, like, Spotify platforms, but I know with YouTube, if you're even singing a song.
Oh, yeah. Demonetized.
Demonetized.
Oof.
Because the lyrics are owned by someone else.
Fair enough.
Well, like, straight up.
I don't know. I guess it's really just up to that. Because that's what Flop was telling me. Like, the Ungrateful Dead, for example. Like, they, like, allowed people to, like, videotape. Like,
yeah. So, it really depends on the artist. But, I don't know.
I would imagine if, like, I mean.
I don't know.
Taylor is, like, pretty powerful. Imagine if she had a fucking legal team and she said, take that shit down. It'd be fucking taken down.
Honestly, yeah.
So, if it's on TikTok, so.
I don't know. But with the TikTok thing specifically, it was actually the whole label that she's with that took all the artist songs off.
It
wasn't
a
Taylor
like
Swift decision. It was the whole label took all of the songs from that label off of TikTok. It wasn't a Taylor specific one. That one, she just happened to be part of that.
So it just wasn't just her.
Because of
like,
the label.
Yeah, it was on the side of TikTok where all of the artists were like making different versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For TikTok, for people to use on TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
they were like, oh, since they took my song off, here is a different version of it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So.
Okay.
But yeah, so a lot of that is more just like the record label company stuff. But there's there's so much Eras Tour content out there with all their songs now that it doesn't matter, it seems like. Jules's cat has been using our recording setup as an obstacle course this whole episode, and
parkour.
It's been so fucking cute.
Parkour.
Parkour.
She found a hair tie.
But yeah, so I guess we can make you also like a playlist of things that, because we were listening to more of the folklore and like speaking out and all that stuff, and you said you're into that more, right?
Mm-hmm. It's definitely more my vibe.
Okay.
I feel like, I don't know, maybe it just wasn't my mindset last night to, you know, listen to slow songs while I deliver food, but it just wasn't.
I feel that. Because also, I think a lot of people also enjoy about Taylor Swift is when you finally do go back through her discography and kind of like listen to a few songs.
The very vast discography, might I add.
Yes. She has a very wide range, like...
Oh, absolutely.
Because you think about, like, going from... Like, Speak Now is very much kind of like a more rock, like...
It's a rock country vibe, but it's like pop still. She's done the country, she's done the pop, she's done the... And she even said that. She says all the time that she gets to morph her genre of music all the time because the fans let her do that. Mm-hmm. But, like, when you listen to Debut, when you listen to Speak Now, when you listen to those stuff, it's so reminiscent of her childhood, I feel like. And it's so nostalgic that when you hear those songs, you hear nostalgia. When
you hear, yeah.
Then you go to this.
Then you go to that.
Blank space.
And you're thinking this is like middle school, teenage years. For at least like us, it was middle school. You're a little older than us, so it was probably more
high school, like as I'm graduating high school kind of thing. Because like, yeah, no, like Shake It Off was like fucking it. Bad Blood, like, yeah.
Yeah, and that like that, it's perfect for like the party song. Like, so it seems like her music, whenever she comes out with it, it like signifies the era of your life so much that I feel like when she started release, when she came out on the Eras Tour, we talked about in the first episode that like what rekindled our love for Taylor Swift. Me, it was the Midnight's album right before the Eras Tour, but I wasn't interested in going to the Eras Tour because I felt like such a fake fan because I only just got back into her. Mm. Then I realized that wasn't the case after the Eras Tour started. She realized when she worked for the Eras Tour how much she loves Taylor Swift still. And that's what got a lot of people back into it, I feel like, was seeing how big of a community that she has reached out to and seeing people all the way from in their 80s all the way down to, like, little kids still. Mm-hmm. Obsessed with Taylor Swift, going to these concerts, all enjoying it together, and, like, walking through all these eras with her during the Eras Tour for 3 hours straight nonstop and realizing how many of the songs that you know. Mm-hmm. When I watched the Eras Tour movie with my boyfriend, he was like, this made me realize I know a lot more Taylor Swift songs than I thought.
Absolutely.
But also like, made me realize how many Taylor Swift songs I don't know, too.
Dude, from like 2000, like whenever she came on the scene from like 2007, 2008 to 2000, I mean, up until today, she dominates the fucking radio.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
She dominates the charts.
No, so, I also did that because I remember being able to hear a little bit of the Eras Tour and I was like, I know this song, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh my God, I know this song, too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh my God, wait.
Yeah.
And like, I knew them. I could sing them with her and I was like,
so
holy
I
shit.
Think regardless of if you're a big Swiftie or a small Swiftie, because obviously there is some extreme cult-like tendencies with the Swifties, it seems like. As you said, it seems like a cult.
It's a little culty. As you ask people to come on the podcast and to sway their opinion. I mean...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Culty.
But I think that my only thing by bringing it on the podcast is kind of just trying to highlight that media destroys women, and she's obviously done so much, and there's so much to her and so much depth to her.
Absolutely.
That I just want to bring people on the I think we more want to bring people on the podcast to highlight other things that you might not know about her that could be more intriguing, that could make you interested in her in your own way. Because I think everyone has their own relationship with artists.
I was about to say, everybody, especially with Taylor Swift, she caters to so many different like types of people, I guess, if that makes sense. Like,
like some people,
it's
are
very universal.
Because there are some people that are straight up like, a fun game to play is like, which era are you at the Taylor Swift tour? It's like, which era is your favorite era? Which album is your favorite? There are some girlies that go to the Eras tour and they know all the country songs, but they could not sing a single Midnight's song with you. But they'll go to the Eras tour because they want to hear all the other songs, and she still puts on a phenomenal show with the rest of it.
Okay.
So it's still fun.
So I'm curious, like, how does she cater to these people at live shows with, like, such a large discography? Like, is it just, like, two or three songs from this era, that era?
Yeah,
kind of
thing?
That's
literally what it is.
Every single era. She does songs from every era, and then she does the surprise songs, which is two random songs that could be any song from her discography that she doesn't have on the set that she could just sing. And she's also done mashups of the songs, too, that are fun, that are, like, fan theory ones, and she'll cave into the fan theories of, like, Out of the Woods and Is It Over Now, like, being connected. She connected them. And there was, like, a thing where it talked about how in the instrumental part of Is It Over Now, the bridge of Out of the Woods fits into it perfectly. And she sang that during the Eras Tour as a surprise song for the fans.
Okay.
So she caters to... She, kid you not, she's also given the hat, like, the red hat during the Red Era... part of the tour, she gives the hat to a different person each night of the Eras tour. She has given it to a cancer patient who has survived multiple cancer, like has had cancer 3 times as a child and survived it every time, and is a huge Taylor Swift fan, she purposely chose her to give the hat to. She purposely gave the hat to Kobe Bryant's daughter for the Eras Tour movie at the LA show because Kobe Bryant was a dear friend of Taylor Swift. She also chose a fan. She chooses specific TikTok fans, and she'll, like, give them the hat or send them on the tour because she pays attention and her team is paying attention. So I also think she does a really good job catering to all her fans in the way that she does recognize them all. She does, like, when she, the cancer patient, she said her name to her. She knew her name. She was like, hi, Allie.
Yeah.
And then, like, she'll, like, say hi to other people. And I actually went to college with someone who got to meet her at one of her, like, listening parties before her album came out, and she got to hold her Grammy, and she said Taylor Swift was like, oh, like, next time you're holding a Grammy, it'll get to be your own, and, like, tried to encourage her songwriting process, and she said that she was, like, the sweetest person for inviting these random people into her home and stuff like that, and, like, she stays connected with fans, and she's invited fans into her home, and she picks these people out who have been fans, and she watches their social medias, and she watches their TikToks, and she sings a few songs of every single album on the Eras Tour. So she's just done a really good job. If you're a part of the fandom, she makes sure that you know that.
It's kind of crazy as me to somebody who, you know, wasn't a part of the fandom. Not to say I am part of the fandom, but it is overshadowed by, like, you know, her dating men constantly.
Yep. Yeah.
So it is kind of crazy to
hear
that stuff.
Yeah, I literally had a friend in college who got to meet Taylor Swift because she was such a big Taylor Swift fan and posted about her so much that Taylor Nation reached out to her and said, hey, do you want to come to the listening party that we're doing for this? And she does it for all of her later albums. She did it for a long time where she'd invite people over and they'd take a certain shuttle bus up to her house and they would all go in and she would sit down and have a whole listening party with them and, like, share stories with them and let them hold Grammys and take pictures with them and do this. She does a lot of very big connection things, and part of why she does the Easter eggs is because she knows how much her fans love it too. She said it became a game. She started doing it with little things, realized how much her fans loved it, and kept doing it.
Yeah. Okay.
So the fans are the reason she does the Easter eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cute.
So she does have a lot of behind the scenes thing that I feel like people just don't see as much.
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's definitely overshadowed by, like, all the men that she dates, or, you know, her reputation for dating men, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I definitely feel like I might do some more research myself. Just to, you know, see.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah. We'll give you that playlist.
And we can have you back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can do an update episode of how awesome things about Taylor Swift in about a month or two.
Okay.
That would be cute.
I don't know if I'd be a Swiftie.
That's okay.
I'm sure you'll find more opinions.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
If anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And worst case, you'll at least get some fun TikTok rabbit holes to dive into if you want to.
Oh, we all know that I love
to do that. I can send you so many.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories, too, because of how many Easter eggs that she sends, too, that are just fun. And there's, like, so many clown face ones, but I think you would really like them.
Okay.
Because that's another thing, is just the conspiracy theories behind it all is just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are a joke.
Like, we don't know how many, and we don't know how many she's actually planned. I have a theory that sometimes, like, her marketing team will see some of these, and they're just like, ah. Oh, I wish I thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
But then it's like,
especially
what
if
they did plan all of them?
Yeah, I was about to say, I mean, especially if it becomes, like, viral on TikTok, like, it's feeds back into the whole marketing situation at all, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty ingenious, like, all the way around.
And even if you're not a full-fledged Swiftie, next time you come on, if you like at least 3 more of her songs by the time you come on next and you, like, can listen to them pretty consistently, and I feel like add it to your like songs. That's what I would think is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's definitely a very vast discography, and not to say I was a country girlie, but I did grow up in the South.
I want to know what era you are.
I want to know what era you are too.
Should we find a quiz?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What do you think your era is?
Do you know enough about it?
Nope.
Oh.
Okay.
Probably something more like what we just listened to. At least now. I don't know if it'll, like, change, but...
That's true. I guess you would just have to walk through all our eras.
I mean, we might have to
actually
should
watch
this...
the Eras Tour with you.
Okay.
We should watch the Eras Tour movie together.
That sounds fun.
Oh my god, did you want to look up her connection with Miley Cyrus at all?
I did. I didn't find anything.
Yeah, I was just curious, just because they do have similar backgrounds.
They have things that are, like, Miley Cyrus, that they're kind of, like, enemies a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I've heard. They've just never been friends, but they've never said anything about each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine.
Well, I guess when they were really young, they were friends, actually. I do remember seeing that.
I mean,
When they were both like 12, or like, and she was dating, not 12.
They were like,
both
they're like, really not 12.
When they're both like 16, around 2012 is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Oh,
around
gotcha,
the time that they were both dating Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
That was around the time that they were like kind of friends, I think.
Mm-hmm. They also, I think this is from the Hannah Montana movie.
Yes.
They were both in it.
Yeah, because they were both in it.
Oh.
Yeah. Taylor Swift appeared.
And Miley Cyrus
said... That's right, she was at, like, the country fair, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Where she fucking dramatically takes off the wig. She's like, I don't want to be Hannah anymore.
Yeah. But I remember, like, there was an interview that popped up on my TikTok of Miley in that specific, like, 2012-ish looking dress from the Hannah Montana movie. Basically saying, like, Taylor's a nice girl. Mm-hmm. That's all she really said about her. She's like, she's a good person. But I just don't think they became, like, friends.
There's a lot of articles that are like, are they friends?
I mean, I would imagine they're both, you know, powerhouses in their own sort of sense with similar backgrounds, you know?
Yeah, and obviously they're friendly. Mm-hmm. They're probably just not friends, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have acquaintances and coworkers, mm-hmm. and that's a real thing, and they're probably just that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So.
Who does Taylor like to keep in her close circle? I mean, I know, obviously, Blake Lively we had already talked about, but isn't there, like, I was about to say, Selena's one that I think, right?
Yeah. Okay. Selena Gomez, Blake Lively. Those are, like, the two consistent friends she still really has, I feel like. But I know, like...
Lana Del Rey is sort of...
A newer friend of hers.
Yeah.
Lana Del Rey is a new friend of hers.
Okay.
Lana Del Slay.
They did the... What's the camera thing?
Oh, the glam bot together?
The glam bot.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, because they did Snow on the Beach together on Midnights, which I actually think you'd like that song a lot.
I feel like I've heard... I feel like I've listened to Midnights once.
Maybe.
Probably.
There's also another version that got released with more Lana Del Rey in it, too, and I feel like you might like that.
Okay. I mean, Lana's not the whole vibe, but I do like
I
some
feel
of,
you.
I do like some of their stuff, so...
Yeah. It's funny that Lana and... you know what I think is just, like, a funny coincidence, too, just as a side note, is that Lana Del Rey and Beyonce are now releasing their country albums. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, after, like, being more friendly with Taylor Swift, they're releasing their country albums. I know the Beyonce one's a little different because she has a whole thing going on with her whole Renaissance thing, and there's a whole theory behind it of, like, mm-hmm. the three acts, and mm-hmm. this is just one of the acts, and the whole point is that it's supposed to be, like, an R&B, and then I think a country, and then I think the last one's supposed to be a rock album, if mm-hmm. the theory's correct, and it's supposed to be her taking back music that was Black music to begin with, which I think is so powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't like Beyonce's country music, if I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think it's...
It's not...
I don't think it feels real when she sings it.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. It definitely has like a Beyonce spin to it, like a country influence. I wouldn't say it's a country album by any
Correct.
Means, you know, just from my experience with country music.
I haven't listened to the whole thing yet, but from what I've heard, I was like... She has a beautiful voice, and I think that the songs sound great, but I just don't think she sounds connected to the music.
No, absolutely. It definitely sounds a little more, like, overproduced.
Yeah.
For sure. I will say the one
But
that
I just think that's a funny coincidence that they're releasing country albums around the time that they're being singing with Taylor Swift a lot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, do you feel like Taylor Swift would go back to country? No?
I don't think she would go back to country, but I think that she's...
I think she would incorporate more elements of it into her stuff.
I also think that she would be someone who could convince other people to try other genres that they want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is, I guess, what my theory would be. Is like, what if these singers would bond to her and I was like, I like country, or I want to challenge myself to create a country album. And she's like, well, do it.
I mean, I was about to say, from an outside point standing in, you know, with the blend of all she's already had and how successful she is, I mean, it's smart.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, smart, but it's, like, she made it successful. Like, do you think...
Well, and look at how many fans she was able to collect with all of it, too. It's, like, she reached such a wide audience that like, you can be a country fan and like Taylor Swift. You can be a pop fan and like Taylor Swift.
That's why there's something for everybody.
You can be a pop-punk fan. There's a whole Sweemo pipeline of, like, emos to Swifty pipeline. There is a whole theory of the pop-punk to Taylor Swift, too, because of, like, reputation, all that kind of stuff, too. Like, there's all sorts of different types of fans for her.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of, like, the Punk Goes Pop or whatever fucking covers.
Yeah.
And I knew You Were Trouble was definitely... It was, like, covered by... I think it was A Day to Remember.
Because even if it's not Taylor Swift singing it, there's covers of her songs out there.
Oh, really yeah, good. Absolutely.
Like, it shows how good of a songwriter she is, yes. too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I know that's been, like, her whole thing is that she's written songs, like, not for herself, but definitely for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Under so many other pseudonyms, too, that there's so many that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that she's a songwriter first and foremost and not
She is a poet.
a poet.
Okay. And a songwriter. There's also rumors that she has released poetry books under pseudonyms, too, because she has, like, hinted at that before. And she talks about her love for poetry a lot.
Yeah, I think it comes down to, like, she is a poet, and she just...
needs to express.
The way that she expresses it mm-hmm. is through music.
Because mm-hmm. even, we also talked about a little bit in the Swifty for Dummies episode, too, that when she was really young, her parents realized really quickly that she could songwrite, and they moved her to Nashville so that way they could focus her on it, too.
I was about to say, I mean, she's been famous since, like, 14, 15, mm-hmm. like, something like that.
It's because she's been writing songs, like, literally as long as she can remember, I feel like. She has just been, she is someone who is naturally gifted at something like this, I feel yes. like.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So... What are your thoughts just overall about Taylor Swift now that we've, and like nor now that we're near the end of this episode?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have a changed opinion, or at least like more things have been brought to light mm-hmm. that, you know, like you said, media definitely washes out all the good. I feel like that, you know, these mm-hmm. people do, celebrities do. I'm definitely more interested, and I'm more. Will search for like what I'm more familiar with, because I know going through like her later stuff, I do remember listening to, you know, Teardrops on My Guitar and fucking Our Song, and what's the one where she's like in the window with the fucking with the glasses on with the paper?
You belong with me.
Yeah,
that's on yeah. Fearless.
Okay. Yeah. So I know a lot of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, we've already talked about how it's like cross genres and how people have already covered it. So I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
And will probably do some more research.
And that's all we would ask.
Yeah. If you just look up some of her music videos, too, she's really good at making music videos. Oh,
yeah, honestly, if you just, like, there's a whole playlist of just her music videos from, like, from her earliest music video to her latest music video, and we could just watch them all.
No, we need an MTV that actually has music videos again.
That would be so fun.
Do you remember waking up with like fucking VH1 or whatever?
Yes, like, I used to actually just turn on MTV in mm-hmm. the morning to get ready for school and just like watch all the music videos mm-hmm. while I was getting ready for school.
I feel so fucking old.
I mean, I had a radio. I listened to the radio.
Okay.
I didn't do MTV. I did the.
That's kind of the same. I mean, it's still the same wavelength. Like music videos and popular music. Radio music that's yeah. popular, so
yeah,
kind of same vibe.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be the first guest, I guess.
Yes. Thanks for letting us try to open your mind more to things that involve Taylor Swift. Because again, like, there's just a lot that I feel like people just don't know that goes on with a lot of celebrities in general. If you're not a fan, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. Not to say that like people don't care, but I feel like, you know.
They just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so
very ignorant, as they would say.
Well, and also, like, we live in such a day and age that has such saturated media and so much misinformation out there, too, that absolutely. It's, like, it's hard to find what's real and what's not in the first place. And then on top of that, there's so much out there mm-hmm. for so many different celebrities, and we have so many different social media platforms mm-hmm. that it's, like, an overwhelming amount of information sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you have to, like, pick and choose.
And mm-hmm. it's also hard to differentiate what's legit and what's...
Exactly.
Just being made up.
Exactly. And what we don't know about these celebrities that publications are just writing about them, too, just for funsies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have no idea.
That's fine. I don't know if I can believe, you know, anything.
Yeah.
Just going with celebrities or politicians, you know, just in general. Anybody yeah. of, like, a higher power if he holds or some sort of power. It's like,
well, I mean, fuck. Everything no we truth. Talked about in this fucking episode is all theory. Like, none of this has been confirmed. We have no idea what any of the actualities of any of what we just talked about is, so.
I mean, I feel like if you have a brain, yeah. just, you know, you can put...
two and two together, but mm-hmm. yeah, exactly.
Two plus two almost always makes four.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
What? Anyways. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you guys learned anything new that you didn't know, comment down below. Jules, what did you learn during this episode?
Sabrina wanted to answer.
Aww.
Trying to think. I don't know. I just learned like more about like her relationships with other females. Like for me, I've always just kind of looked at it as like, oh my god, they're friends. I'm one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just like, know. Oh my god, they're friends. I'm oblivious.
They were roommates.
They were roommates.
And see, that also shows you there's Swifties out there that are not Gaylers and are not part of the Gayler community of it all, too. There's so many different types of Swifties out there, too. Mm-hmm. There's so many different types of Swifties out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
a Swemo Swiftie.
I was about to say, so what would be, like, your opinion? I mean, do you think yes?
Or
do you think
no? Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I don't doubt it. Mm-hmm. I just never really got into that.
Mm-hmm.
Never, I didn't know how much there actually was on that. You know what I mean?
Right. So never really, like, connected until the evidence was there, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one photo you showed me of, like, this fucking sucking face. I'm pretty sedimentary to me. So, arm around the neck.
Everything. Gaylor.
Man, I'm here for it. So. I think, you know, everybody would benefit from being a little bit gay.
Yeah.
I think everyone is a little gay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Even for the bros, the 100% straights. Like, I swear, one of our coworkers, he...
We're going to bleep out the name.
I don't think he listens.
I don't care.
I know you don't care, but I'm just saying, like, I'm wondering.
I know. I'm just saying I'm bleeping out any of our coworkers' names that have no consent about being talked about on the podcast.
Fair. Okay. Maybe I should have thought about that. Anyway. He who shall not be named, Mr. Voldemort.
We know a bro dude.
Yeah, just very bro dude forward. Like, I swear to God, they all have, you know, their male muses that they seek after. Or, you know,
I mean, every straight man is still obsessed with Ryan Reynolds, and you cannot convince me that they would not all fuck Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, absolutely. I would fuck Ryan Reynolds. Like,
or what's his face?
Yeah, I mean.
What's his face? All right. Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey, so.
I know a lot of straight men who are obsessed with Matthew McConaughey.
I don't really get the vibe.
Don't understand it.
He's like one of those ugly straights, kind of like, you know. Yeah.
But I had a lot of I had old roommates that bought a life-size cardboard cutout out of him.
He was cute whenever he was younger, but look, like, he suffers from the old white man, like, decrepit.
I feel like that's always how I've seen him.
Ew, what is this
No,
picture?
Literally Ew. Same. He's so ugly. I don't get it. I just don't think men are cute.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
But I'm just saying men are obsessed with him, and they're obsessed with Ryan Reynolds, and it's a little weird how obsessed men are with those two men specifically.
I mean, I could see the lore behind... I mean, I was going to say, like, Jake Gyllenhaal. It's like another one that I'm sure they really like.
We don't stand Jake Gyllenhaal.
I was
going to
say,
tread lightly here.
Tread lightly.
Right.
We will go on another tangent.
I was going to say, once we finish recording, we need to go... watch All Too Well 10-minute version short film right now.
Okay. No, for real. Let's do it.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I feel like everybody would benefit from being a little gay.
Yeah.
And being, you know, honest with it.
Like, yeah.
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 Forward. Like, who cares?
So, if you stayed for the end of this podcast and you're listening to this still, comment a rainbow flag emoji.
Gay.
And with that,
thanks.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.